Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow.
That was weak.
We had spring weather this week. It was a little warmer. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Thank you. This is odd for me to be in front of a bunch of adults. I'm usually in front of a bunch of kids, which
they're still here.
They don't scare me at all. So, just a few reminders, council meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for council members, and anyone is invited to that. It's not just for council members. The Lenten service will be here at the church on Wednesday, March 16th. Please join us for a soup supper at 6 p.m. I know there's a lot of good soups that are coming in. I was kind of enlightened on which soups were coming, and it will be a hard choice to decide which one or two to eat that night. And then there will be a service at 7 p.m. Please check your bulletins for time and location of other services that are coming up during the Easter season. Reminder that offering plates are in the back, and put your offering in either before or after the service. The MRC Midwest Regional Conference is coming up June 23rd to 25th. And I'm sure Pastor Tim has more information about that. There's a card shower for Judy Adolph, as she will be reaching 85 this year. And so please check your bulletin for her address. Next week, Pastor Tim is asking that all youth, fifth grade and up, that means in fifth grade right now, are asked to be here during Sunday school for a meeting. He would like to meet with you guys. They will be talking about our search for a new youth pastor, along with some future plans for a youth group here. We also have one other special announcement this morning. Someone has reached and informed me that it's just a stone. It's not a milestone for a birthday. So if you could join us in helping Pastor Tim celebrate that birthday, we will sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Tim. Happy birthday to you.
We all need that shout out once in a while. So if you could join me now for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today praising and thanking you for another Sunday that we are able to come together to worship you, to encourage one another, to lift our church family up in prayer. We bring to you families who are hurting. Give them comfort this morning and put the right people in their path who can help them. We bring before you those who are on our prayer list with physical and medical needs, that you will touch them with your healing power. And Father, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, from Moses, please give us that faith that Moses had and recreate that time when you sent the people that Moses needed to help him, that people would be willing to use their abilities and talents for you that you have blessed them with. Be with Pastor Tim this morning as he brings us your message, and with the praise team as they lead us in worship. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Shall we stand?
To my feet. I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love.
Thank you.
think of you, the praises start. Love you so much, Jesus, love you so much. Lord, I love you, my soul sings, in your presence, carried on your wings. Love you so much, Jesus, love you so much. How my soul
myself muted here. It's happened before. Good morning. I'm so glad to see everybody here. Thank you for the birthday wishes. And it was not in the announcements that we had to sing happy birthday this morning. That was not there. I believe that was ad-libbed in there. But I am glad to see that you've all have joined us this morning, and also welcome to our guests who have joined us. I was given a quick announcement this morning that was just brought to my attention to continue to pray for Ralph Eads. He is still in the hospital right now with pneumonia. And if you would like to visit, please contact Shauna first. He's very limited on how many people are allowed to come visit instead of just showing up. Contact first and go from there. Sound good? And meantime, let's take a moment, let's say a prayer, and then we'll get into today's lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together and to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for each person who was able to make it out and for the protection of the storm that we had last night. Father, I ask that this morning it be your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I ask that you just guide us and direct us throughout this lesson and that we may grow in knowledge of you. And Father, if I say anything that's not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we've moved through the We Believe series, I'm hoping that you guys are starting to see how these different things add up together and how we work together and how it joins together. And today, we're going to be looking at some interesting big words. We're going to be looking at some words that some of you may have heard before, some of you may not have. We're going to be looking at regeneration, justification, and sanctification. We're going to learn how they all work together and how they outline a part of our salvation and our walk with God throughout this life. We will see how this flows out of some of the other things we've learned. You know, last week we spoke about humanity. We spoke about how God made us in His image. We spoke about how He put us in the garden and gave us everything we needed. We also saw how God gave us free will. And He gave us that opportunity to choose to follow God or to go against His plan. Adam and Eve was given the opportunity of choice and to do everything God told them not to. And they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because they wanted to become like God, with that came the downfall of man. They understood that they were naked and they hid from God, causing a wedge to be formed between us and God. And after the fall of man, God the Father started putting into plan a motion to restore humanity to Himself again. He laid out what it would take to become right with God. And He constantly pursued mankind, wanting to bring us back to Him. He laid out the Ten Commandments. He gave us the laws. He gave us instructions for life. And He showed that we needed a Savior. God knew that as humans, we cannot keep the law on our own. He knew that as humans, we would fall to the flesh and fleshly desires, needing a Savior to rescue us and give us a way to be restored to Him. And this is where Jesus comes into the picture. He came to do what none of us are able to do. He lived a perfect life, keeping the law perfectly. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become righteousness of God. Jesus came and bore that sin that you and I have in our lives. And He made us right in the eyes of God the Father. All we have to do is accept that free gift of salvation that comes through Jesus on the cross. And that's where we're going to get into the first word. Regeneration. This is where regeneration comes into play. It's the starting point of our salvation. It's that moment that happens in a blink of an eye. Regeneration is also known as new birth, or as we often say, born again. Are you born again? Is the question we ask our brothers and sisters. This is where that word comes in. Regeneration is the radical transformation of an individual life from that self-centeredness, the God of self, meaning all about you and what you want, and moving it to God-centeredness in your life. Understanding that God is who we are here to worship. And it's God that we look to, and we're here to show His glory. It's moving from looking at our own self to the one true God. It's the idea of shedding the old way of life, that sinful life, and being made new like Christ. This is an important line. In fact, I got the next slide for this. It involves a new relationship to God, a new relationship to others, and a new attitude towards the world. When we are born again, when we are regenerated, this is how we look at things. We can't continue down our old way. We cannot be saved. We cannot be born again and still act and look like the world around us. We're called to a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. In John chapter 3, we find Jesus having a visitor come to Him at night. And in verse 1, it says, there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2, it says, this man came to Him at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a good teacher who came from God, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. And Jesus responds in a very unique way in verse 3. Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And by the way, this is one of my favorite little Bible stories. Because can you imagine Nicodemus' face at that moment when Jesus says you have to be born again? That moment and how he would have felt, and the fact we know by his response in verse 4 simply says, how can anyone be born who is old? Nicodemus asked him, can he enter his mother's womb a second time? I think that's a fair question at that time. He didn't understand what Jesus was talking about being born again. And I think it's something that all of us would have asked, to try to understand what Jesus is saying about being born again. But Jesus makes it clear in verse 5 and 6. Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus is talking about being saved, about being regenerated into a new life, into the new covenant. Somewhere along the lines, we've lost this. We've gotten to the point where we just say a prayer, and you're good to go. Don't get me wrong, it's a great starting point. I'm sure many of you guys have started your relationship with Christ by simply walking to the front and saying a prayer and having your life changed. But it needs to be that heart transformation, not just words. We no longer expect people to have a changed heart. People who proclaim to be Christians, we don't expect that out of them. We don't expect people to live a new life anymore. We simply say this prayer, hand them a Bible, and we walk away. It's kind of like the idea of, here's your ticket to heaven. Let us stamp it and move on. Go out and live however you want. We don't think about discipleship or helping others grow in their walk, which is nowhere near what the Bible actually tells us. Nowhere near how we're called to live. We are called to die to our old self and to start over. Unpopular opinion here. If someone just says a prayer but there's no change in their life and they still pursue their old way of doing things, they weren't saved. They simply had an encounter with God. And we know from reading the Bible, not everybody who encountered God followed God or chose him. Because the truth is, if we're saved and we're regenerated, we have a new life. We're going to start looking and transforming completely different than who we were before. If we turn to our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, the first verse says, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See, once we are saved, we are called to look to the heavens for our answer. We are called to look to God for our answers in life. Verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. We should no longer be concerned on the little things that happen here. Instead, we need to become kingdom-minded in all that we do. Becoming focused on that, what God has placed us here to do on this earth. We become concerned for the lost souls, for the injustices in our communities and around the world. We mourn for the loss. We mourn for the evil we see. But we need to stay our focus on the work that God has given each one of us. In verse 3, in the CSB translation, to keep going with what we were doing, says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I actually like the NLT translation a little bit better, which is up here on your screen for you guys. For you died to this life, and the real life is hidden with Christ in God. I just like how they worded that. The reason we no longer need to worry about worldly things is when we are regenerated, is because our life is now with Christ. No matter what happens here on earth, no matter what happens to our earthly bodies, we're still in Christ. We know that we are now his, and in the end, he wins. And that's where we get to spend eternity anyways. If we've been regenerated, we've been given this promise. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If we've been born again, we get to appear with him at the end. I know for many of you are thinking, we know all of this. We've heard it. And this is why we said yes to Jesus. But here comes the hard part. Verse 5, probably one of the hardest parts of all. Therefore, put to death what belongs to this earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. This is when we get to the keys about being regenerated. This is where many Christians stumble when it comes to their walk with God. We read passages like Colossians 3, 5, and we say, man, I have been trying, but I still mess up. Who in here is willing to admit they still mess up? We set these high expectations of new believers, and when they can't achieve them, they walk away feeling defeated because it's been misrepresented. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're perfect. And it doesn't mean that you won't still sin from time to time. You're still in the flesh. The fleshly desire is still there. You're going to have impure thoughts. You're going to have lustful thoughts. You will still have greedy thoughts. But here's the difference. Once you became saved, those things will become detestable to you. When you have that moment, you're going to dislike it. You'll no longer be okay with the sexual sin. The idea of an affair won't be appealing to you. The pornography that you couldn't stop watching, it'll make you feel disgusted if you do. You won't be okay with drunkenness. The idea of going out and getting wasted will no longer be your goal. When the opportunity to become greedy and take advantage of someone, it won't sit right in your heart. Anytime you do something that you know is sin, your heart will ache and there's going to be a heaviness within you. You will not allow these things to rule you anymore. But let me be clear, you will still make mistakes. You will still fall at times for these fleshly desires. You're just looking at it in a different way. You may catch yourself getting drunk unexpectedly, taking advantage of a situation before you realize what happened. We all struggle with sin, but we don't let that sin define us anymore or who you are. Or do you remember that you've been made new in Christ, not pursuing sin? We need to remember that we're a child of God. And when we make those mistakes because we are still in our flesh, we ask God for forgiveness, striving to do better in life, seeking the Holy Spirit, asking Him to take those desires away from us, and you will be amazed at the transformation that will happen. Here's the basic rundown on that regeneration. Do you strive after Christ every day? Do you look to Him in the middle of your mess, seeking to put the old way behind you and saying no to sin? Understanding that when you stumble, to just pick your cross back up and continue following after Him. Now, Luke 9:23 tells us, then He said to them, if anybody wants to follow after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. We have to do that every day. We have to make a choice to follow Christ, to put the things of this world behind us, pursuing God in good things that glorify Him. In no way does it mean that we're going to be perfect at it. In no way does it mean that everyone around us is going to be perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect Christian. It means, though, that in everything we do, when we make those mistakes, we turn back to Christ. We try every day to put on, to bear that cross that He asks us to follow after Him. And when we make those mistakes, we repent, we go to those people. That's what it means if we've been regenerated, if we've been born again, is that we're actively pursuing a relationship. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means we serve the One who is perfect. And that kind of gets us into the next thing. When we do that, when we've been regenerated, when we've been made new, we come to this term called justification. Now, I'm not going to go real deep into this word, but it's my favorite word out of all the words that we have today. We believe that justification comes by faith in Christ and his atoning work, and not by the works of the law or the merits of the individual. It's nothing that we did on our own. Our salvation is based on Christ. Justification is based on Christ. So even when we screw up, like I just talked about, here's some good news. We don't lose our salvation. Okay? Just because we're flesh and we make those earthly mistakes, it don't mean like you're suddenly scratching your name out of the book of life. It's still there. We've been made right. I don't care what other Christians around you tell you or how people try to justify. It's not how it works. If we've been saved and we're pursuing Christ, even in the midst of our mistakes, our name stays in the book of life. And 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, and the man Christ Jesus." Jesus came to this earth to make a way for us to return to the Father in heaven. God understands that we're both flesh and spirit. God understands that our earthly bodies have earthly desires, and none of us can live up to the expectation that he has for us. So that, here's the thing. When we stand there on judgment day, this is the point of justification. This is the point that should give us all hope. If we have already accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're pursuing after him, on judgment day, God doesn't see the filth in our lives. He doesn't see the mistakes that you and I have made. He no longer sees our past or our struggles or any of that. Instead, what he sees is the perfection of Christ in us. He sees us washed clean. We are justified in front of our Father. And we are going to be presented as the bride for that glorious day. And how glorious will that day be? How glorious will that day be? The final word for today is sanctification. Now, I want to remind you that with regeneration and justification, those both happen in a moment of instance. The moment that you commit your life to Christ, both occur. It isn't, you aren't justified because of your years of working towards God. You are justified at that moment that you've accepted Christ. A blink of an eye. But sanctification starts the moment we say yes to him. The moment that we are a new standard in front of God. It becomes that moment that we start our sanctification process. We believe sanctification is the shared work of God and the believer, bringing the whole of one's life in line with the will of God. Next month, I celebrate 12 years since I said yes to Jesus. I celebrate 12 years since I finally said yes to the call to ministry. I look back on that time and I see how much God has changed me in these last 12 years. How he has molded me each and every day. How I'm still not perfect. My family can tell you that. But I'm better than I was 12 years ago. God has been taking me through this sanctification process. The moment I became regenerated, the moment I was justified in Christ, was the moment that I started my sanctification process. The me 12 years ago probably wouldn't even imagine the me today because of how much God has changed me over these years of constantly pursuing after him. Sanctification is a lifetime event. It never ends until we're standing in front of Christ on that final day. We are being made to look like Christ each and every day, further and further, chiseling away at the sin and the mistakes of our lives and experiencing his goodness in a greater way. I know the me 12 years ago wouldn't notice everything, but I know by the grace of God, I still am here I know I still have sins I struggle with. But I also know there were sins I used to struggle with that I no longer do. And it was by turning it over each day to Jesus. And I know the sins I struggle with today, by the grace of God in the future, I will no longer struggle with those. I am no way better than anyone else. I am not perfect. Jesus alone is perfect. But I know Christ is molding me each day, going through that sanctification process. He's making us more like him. He's making us new daily, using the Holy Spirit in that still small voice to remind me of his goodness and saying and saying no to the godlessness and the worldly lust around us. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God is appearing, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness, worldly lusts, and to live as sensible and righteousness in godly way in the present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people of his own possession, eager to do the good works." As we start wrapping up today, I want to point out a couple of things. If we have been saved, it doesn't mean that we no longer sin. So if you made a mistake in your life, even after you said yes to Christ, you're still saved. We repent, we move on, and we try to do better. We're still in the flesh. Romans 7:17 says, "So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it's the sin living in me." We will no longer choose to chase sin. Instead, we need to start chasing Christ. We have to make a personal choice every day to get up and pursue the things of God and not the of this world around him. Romans 12:1-2 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of mercy of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God." In the end, we will all stand in front of Christ, and we all will have to give an account for our lives. We will get to either hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or, "Away from me, I never knew you." My question today is, does your life reflect Christ, or does it reflect the world around us? In Galatians 5:19 through 21, it lays out what worldly things are. "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." It's very clear on that passage. But if we've been saved, if we have the Holy Spirit, our life will reflect the fruits of the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5:22-25, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." If you've been regenerated this morning, if you've been justified, and you're going through your sanctification process, you're going to look like the second set of passages. If you're still chasing after the verses 19 through 21 and aren't looking to Christ, you have to make a decision. And it's something that you have to do inside your own heart. It's nothing I can tell you. Nothing anybody can. We all have to make that choice. And that's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to join together and to worship you. Father, I ask that just this morning that we all take a moment and we reflect on our own lives and the things that we're doing. Are the things that we're doing glorifying you or working against you? Are we chasing after you or are we chasing after the flesh? As you're out there this morning, I want you to ponder that. What does your life reflect? Does it reflect Christ or does it reflect the world? Your actions, your words will reflect and show where your allegiance is. And if it's not with Christ, I encourage you today to turn back to him. He's standing there with arms wide open. Come talk to one of us after. We'll gladly pray with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for saving me. See you.